Bill and O.C. show continues here on ESPN 700. My co-host, Sean O'Connell, is, ironically enough, making his way back from Boston, which I believe is where our next guest is. I know he was headquartered there for a long time. O.C. won his bout yesterday in the UFC, so he'll be back bloodied, bruised, and battered tomorrow, but with a win in his back pocket. And we'll talk some football with him tomorrow, but we'll talk football today with a guy you see all over the mothership on ESPN and all their different NFL programming. Longtime NFL writer. Used to be, if I'm not mistaken, back in the day, a few years ago, Patriots beat writer. So it's good to have Field Yates on with us here in Salt Lake City on the Bill and O.C. show on ESPN 700. Field, how are you?
I'm doing well. You got the credentials right. Last night was also, I am from Boston. I still live there. Last night was an awesome atmosphere. Segueing from the game at Gillette Stadium to terrific UFC action at TD Garden. Just a really good night for sports all the way around here in Massachusetts.
Yeah, ironically enough, I had my partner, who's not here today, but he'll be back tomorrow, on my laptop watching him on the UFC Fight Pass while I was watching the football game on my big screen here in Salt Lake City. So it was a big night in Boston last night. I got to be very honest with you. I was expecting my partner to win. He was a favorite, and he did win. And I was expecting the Patriots to win, but I really thought Indianapolis might be able to give him a game. I didn't see a blowout coming. Should I have?
I think the answer is no. And, you know, there were certainly some that were vocal this week in the New England market that thought this game would not be close. I was one that was urging some caution here. I picked the Patriots to win, but I thought it would be a seven-point game, something like that. Andrew Luck is just too talented, I thought, to not keep this game competitive. And frankly, it was the Colts who looked like the best team to advance last weekend when they thoroughly took care of the Denver Broncos in Denver, and the Patriots who got their hands basically, they got a handful from the Baltimore Ravens, and they got all they could take from Baltimore. And I don't want to say they were lucky, but certainly the Patriots needed, very good to near perfect execution in the second half to come back from two separate two-touchdown deficits. So I think that the Patriots really impressed yesterday for obvious reasons in a lot of ways. I don't know that momentum carries necessarily from one week to the next, but I can say this, that the Patriots play in two Sundays like they played yesterday, even going against that vaunted Seattle defense, they're going to be a very tough out.
ESPN NFL insider Field Yates with us back in Boston today. He covers the National Football League. Covered the Patriots for. Did you cover any of the early Super Bowl runs when you were on the Patriots beat?
I did not, but the most recent trip to the Patriots, or to the Super Bowl for the Patriots, was the year before I got there. So I got there, and all of a sudden they stopped going to Super Bowls, which was 2013, 2014, or 2012, 2013, were the 2 years that I covered them in earnest. So I don't know if I was a bad luck charm, because now that I'm off the beat, they're headed back to the Super Bowl, but either way, I think the Patriots are happy to be headed back to Glendale, Arizona.
Yeah, I would say so. And I guess I'd just ask you, as somebody that at least covered the team, even if you weren't there for the Super Bowl runs, how does this edition, call it edition 4.0 or whatever, of Patriots Super Bowl runs, or 5.0, or I guess it's 6.0 with Tom Brady, how does this compare to some of the prior trips and maybe some of the teams that won? Because my recollection was, outside maybe the Randy Moss year or years, I can't remember if it was one or two, very rarely has Tom Brady had a great superstar cast offensively. And even on defense, oftentimes Bill Belichick's had guys that were maybe at the end of their Pro Bowl-type careers, but they've always pieced it well together. And this team kind of feels to me, with Brady at quarterback and all the other pieces, like most of the other Patriots Super Bowl teams.
Yeah, this Patriots offense is pretty good for the one that everybody said had no weapons before the season, right? Bill Belichick was doing Tom Brady a disservice by only giving him Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, Brandon LaFell, LeGarrette Blount, Shane Vereen. The list goes on and on. It's so amazing how we can rewrite the narrative some 18 or 20 weeks later. But I think to compare them to the previous editions of the Patriots, you know, the first three Super Bowls, or the only three Super Bowls that they have won, you know, the first one was probably a defense that carried the offense. Very good special team and timely offense, obviously. That last drive by Tom Brady, which concluded with a game-winning kick to Adam Vinatieri, one of the great in NFL history. You know, those two teams that they won back-to-back Super Bowls with, 2003, 2004, more balanced. I think that if a team this team reminds me probably one of those two teams. The 2017, that won the Super Bowl at 16-0, let's be honest, it might have been the most high-powered offense in NFL history. I know that the Broncos scored more points last year, but there are some different elements in the Patriots' 2007 offense that were just so difficult to take on. I think this is a balanced group. I think it's one where the Patriots don't need to have their very best on offense in order for them to win. They don't need to have their very best on defense in order for them to win. And I guess I would say they don't need to have their very best on special teams, but they've been so consistent in the game this year that more often than not, that's not a massive worry for the Patriots. So I think it's a very balanced group. I think that it's a very motivated and determined group, and I think that's probably something you could say about almost every NFL team every season. I do sort of get the sense, though, that the Patriots are looking at this opportunity as people wrote us off in a way that they have never written us off after four games earlier this season. Let's not forget that as we march towards what would be the fourth Super Bowl win in franchise history.
Field Yates, our guest, as we talk NFL football with the Super Bowl, which is 13 days away in Glendale, Arizona. Conversely, I guess we're in a little bit more Seahawks country here in Salt Lake City, though it's more of a Broncos, Chargers, Niners market than anything else. But there's a fair number of Seahawks fans out here. I've liked that team a year ago. Was fantastic. It seemed for parts of this season, though, something was missing with Seattle. I don't know what it was, but you just had the feeling they weren't quite the same team as a year ago. Defensively, they looked like they've kind of rounded into form as of late, but yesterday's performance by Russell Wilson, Marshawn Lynch seems to pick his spots. They seem to miss Golden Tate as a big play guy. I don't know. I'm not. Defensively, they seem to be fine, though the Sherman injury might be a little troubling. But does this Seahawks team feel the same as the Seahawks team did a year ago going into that Super Bowl?
It does, and I'm going to borrow as many cliches as I can possibly fit into one answer. But, you know, this team has no quit, literally. You know, I mean, they just don't stop. They are relentless. And it stems from the head coach, Pete Carroll, and GM, John Schneider. But that quarterback, you know, Russell Wilson, just sort of emanates that never-say-die attitude. It's really impressive. Defensively, they're so good that the offense doesn't necessarily have to be so explosive. I think it's going to be a real test for the Patriots in terms of just being physical at the point of attack, because even when you have the right defense called against the Seahawks, you know, Wilson can make such impressive throws into tight windows, and Marshawn Lynch is such a load to bring down that you can have the right defense dialed up and still not necessarily get the result you're looking for. Execution is key. Now, I really think, and I'm not sure what could change in the next 13 days other than, you know, maybe we find out that Richard Sherman or Earl Thomas won't be able to go, but I don't think that's going to be the case with either one of them. But this, I think it's going to be a pick-em type game. The two best teams in football, very clearly, maybe not from the start to the finish of the season, but once each one of them turned their season around following the loss to Kansas City, they've been the two best teams in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm a Chiefs fan, Field, and it's amazing that the Chiefs could beat the Patriots and the Seahawks, yet lose to the Raiders and the Tennessee Titans this year, but don't even get me started on that right now. All right, give me something that gives you pause about each one of these teams, something that maybe makes you go, I'm not maybe quite so sure, something that would be maybe a red flag if you're a Patriot fan or a red flag if you're a Seahawk fan with the 13 days leading up to the game.
Well, I think that the Patriots is that the Seahawks can really, really hammer the ball at the point of attack, running the football. Patriots have been better defending the run of late, but it's been an area that I wouldn't say, you know, they're not the Great Wall of New England over here. And then defensively, you know, protecting Tom Brady, the offensive line has been really terrific over the past two games. But the Seahawks pass rush is probably unmatched in the NFL. And if I am the Seahawks, I think there are a couple of things that probably give me pause, right? I mean, it's Tom Brady, first of all, and this team is so, so talented across the board. Also for Seattle, I mean, they sort of played with fire yesterday, getting down by 16 points. I know that's not what they wanted to do, but if the Patriots get a bigger lead or a big lead, I think they're equipped to run the football, chew up the clock, and be very good in the passing game to potentially hold on to that lead. And I didn't just say the same thing about Green Bay. I just think the Patriots defense is superior to the Packers defense. So closing that gap, if the Seahawks do fall behind early, would be an immense challenge for them, especially in the Super Bowl on the big stage.
You know, we don't talk about this very often like we do with other quarterbacks, but how long do you think Tom Brady goes? I think Tom is, what, 35, 36 now? He still seems to be on top of his game. Hasn't had the injuries Peyton Manning suffered in his career, but How much, I mean, Tom seems to be a guy that loves playing, and he was pretty fiery yesterday. You've been around him a bunch. Do you get a sense that he'll be a guy kind of like Favre that will just keep playing until he can't play anymore, or do you think he's got a time where he's going to say, yeah, enough's enough?
Well, amazingly, he's actually 37, and I think that here's my take on age in quarterbacks. When you watch a quarterback play and you put the blinders on of not knowing when he was born, and you start to see issues physically or something that you weren't he wasn't experiencing early in the career, that's when it's time to bring up the age discussion. And I think there's a reason why we talk about Peyton Manning and his age, because even though he's brilliant, there are certainly some limitations now that weren't there previously. For Tom Brady, if there are games where he doesn't play well, it's not because you say to yourself, well, he doesn't have the arm strength, or he's not moving around like he used to. You know, he just didn't play well in certain games this season. And last night, I don't think anybody watched that game and said to themselves, say what, man, that Tom Brady arm is really falling off. You know, I think that if there's a point, and it will eventually come, Father Time catches up to all athletes, where Tom Brady starts to, you know, sort of experience those physical wear and tear limitations, then the age discussion becomes more relevant. For right now, I don't see any reason why he can't continue to play with the balance of his current contract, which runs for three more years after that at a very high level. As for when Brady would walk away from the game, I don't think he's going to keep playing until someone will give him a paycheck. I think he's one of those quarterbacks. Understand, he will know when it's time, and it won't be, you know, when he's having a 12-touchdown, 25-interception season. It'll be at a point where either, you know, it's not the right situation with the team, or Brady feels like he's accomplished everything that he reasonably would want to accomplish as a competitor and is ready to go on to the next phase of his life.
His hero, his guy, the guy he's always compared to, Joe Cool, Joe Montana, won 4 Super Bowls and retired when he was 38 years old. Tom will be 38, I guess, next year or either later this year. I'm not sure when his birthday is. Would that be his? I mean, you know, he doesn't talk openly about records and things, and he always says the right thing. But would tying or possibly passing Montana be something he would be gunning for?
Well, I think that Brady would tell you. I don't think he's going to, you know, go out there and talk about personal goals too extensively, because he's always focused on the team. But certainly, the Patriots' goal is to win the Super Bowl every year. But that's what every team buys for, so Brady certainly wants to get another ring. I think there's an importance, whether it's spoken or not, to what this 4 Super Bowl ring would mean to Tom Brady and his legacy. You know, I think it would cement him as the greatest quarterback of this generation, bar none, if he isn't already, and maybe it vaults him into the conversation as the greatest ever. If he gets 5, which, you know, I think we need to, you know, sort of pump the brakes a little bit, because he's got a lot of business to take care of in order just to get 4. But certainly Brady is one of those quarterbacks that, you know, is motivated by greatness, motivated by team greatness, but also understands, I think, the individual. I think he has a perspective on what it all means. I don't think he wants to talk about it all that often. I also think he's not naive what this all could mean to him.
All right, 2 more things, and I'll cut you loose. First, is anything going to come of this inflation-deflation story? And what could be the ramifications if the NFL does find some?
Well, something could come about. I think it's sort of an on-story. It's a 38-point game last night. If you know, the biggest worry for the Colts is deflation, and I'm not. And maybe the answer is it's not the Colts are worried about it, but frankly, it's one of those stories that I think probably generates more conversation only because of the teams involved. Ramifications. Listen, it could be a fine for the Patriots. It could be potential, you know, docking of a draft pick, but I think we should move off this one pretty quickly.
Hey, last thing. I mentioned we're kind of in Denver Broncos country out here. The John Fox stuff, I mean, the guy wins 4 division titles and they let him go, and that's John Elway's prerogative to do so. But the hiring of Gary Kubiak, you fire a guy that's gone to a Super Bowl twice as a head coach, won 4 division titles for you, and you're hiring a guy that had a losing record in 6 seasons with the Houston Texans. Are you surprised at the Kubiak hire? I know the two were friends and they played together, but is Kubiak the best Denver could do?
I'm not surprised at all, and I actually think Gary Kubiak's a very good coach. I think that we get to this method of thinking where it has to be wins and losses as our, you know, number one criteria for who the best is at a certain position, whether it's quarterback, coach, et cetera. Listen, Gary Kubiak has a lot of ties to Denver Broncos. They know familiarity. If you don't move on from a coach after four division titles and a Super Bowl appearance like John Fox, unless there's something to it, right? And John Elway mentioned they had a gap in where they felt the next step was in order to get to the next level. That's part of it. But listen, the Broncos aren't—they're not naive. They know how this business works. Gary Kubiak, I think, is a strong hire. He's a very good offensive mind. And whether or not Peyton Manning is back in 2015 and beyond, the Broncos, I think, are equipped to be a very good offense in the sustainable future.
If it's not Peyton Manning, do they go with Brock Osweiler, or are they out shopping for a proven commodity?
I tell you what, that could be the storyline of the offseason. I know the offseason hasn't even fully begun for two teams, of course, Patriots and Seahawks. But listen, I mean, that's sort of the elephant in the room of the NFL offseason. Is what happens? Peyton Manning retires. You know, this is one of the greats of all time. I just think it's too early to make a decision or have some sort of prediction as to whether or not it's Brock Osweiler or somebody else. I think we'll have to cross that bridge when we come to it, if we do come to it this offseason.
Hey, Field, great stuff. Really enjoy your work at .com and on the NFL Insiders as well. Keep up the good work. We'll talk to you again out here in Salt Lake City soon.
Thank you very much.